We have had a couple of weeks now of preseason football, right? And I'm sure everybody's been watching with great care and great attention to the Bears and their situation. And we know they won Thursday. They're 2-0 in the preseason. And also in the preseason, you have a lot of players who maybe they're just out of the draft, right? They're just out of college. And so they're figuring out how do they fit in, if at all, onto an NFL roster. And one of the challenges sometimes for if you play sports, and especially if you're trying to play professional sports, one of the challenges that athletes can run into is that if they're already that good to be drafted into the NFL, the odds are they were probably one of the best players on their team in high school, right? They were probably one of the best players on their team in high school, whether because of their natural athletic ability or their physical gifts or things like that. And so maybe they didn't really have to try all that hard in high school to really do very well. And so they go to college, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of an increase in that level of difficulty of the competition. Now you're also playing against players. Well, they were the best in their high schools too. So maybe you were the best at one time, but now you're just one of a whole team of players who are the best in their high school. So now college is a little bit more difficult, but still sometimes in college players will have, yeah, I was one of the best players in college. And so we played some teams where they didn't always have all the best players like maybe some of the other schools did. And so you can also build bad habits that way. Say, well, I'm already very good. Look at how well I'm doing in college. And then you make that jump to the NFL. You make that jump to the professional level. And then what happens? Now this is the best of the best. And so if you want to stick around on an NFL roster, you can't just rely only on your pure physical gifts and your talent. You want to stick around on an NFL roster, you're going to have to put in work. You're going to have to work to get better because you're going to be facing people who are even better than you. And so you have to work on all of those little things, all of your technique, all of the study in the playbook and watching film and trying to learn and trying to grow so that you can stick around there, so that you can continue to grow yourself. You can't just sit back and rest and say, okay, well, I feel like I've done enough. I did enough in high school. I did enough in college, so everything should be fine. At this point, I can tell who's a sports fan, because everybody who's not is sort of already, okay, Father, we get it, sports, huh? Okay. But this doesn't happen only in sports, right? This happens in other places in our lives, too. Sometimes in a smaller setting, maybe when we were in high school, maybe we were very good in our academics, right? And then we go off to college, and now what happens? In college, we also find, oh, these kids were all the top of their class. Maybe that happens as we're at the top of our class in college, and then we go off into the workforce, and we find, oh, I'm competing against all people who were top of their class, top of their grade, trying to get those spots, right? So we have to do the same kind of thing. If you're working for a promotion, yeah, you have to say, okay, everybody who's here, they have certain gifts and skills, so what am I going to do? How do I have to keep striving so that I can stand out, so that I can be set apart? So we know that from time to time we face these kinds of hurdles, if you will, in life. We face these kinds of challenges where all of a sudden we recognize, no, I've got to put in some work here if I really want to grow. I have to put in some work here if I really want to get better. It's always kind of fascinating because it's a lot of times it's like we forget that this would also apply to the spiritual life too. Sometimes we forget that this kind of concept applies to the spiritual life too. We think to ourselves, well, you know, God is love, and so everything's going to be very easy, and so from time to time I'll go to church, and maybe I prayed today, and maybe I didn't, but that's okay. God is love. He's supposed to forgive me, so I don't really have to try. I don't have to do anything in my life of faith because God will cover all of that, right? And so people ask Jesus in the gospel today. They say, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He makes this very sort of interesting statement, right? He says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Which means what? Does that negate the fact that God is love? Does that negate the fact that God forgives? Does that negate the fact that God is generous and merciful? No. But nonetheless, he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Which means every day in our life, we ought to be striving for holiness. Every day in our life, we ought to be striving to grow in our relationship with God. We ought to be trying to grow in prayer. We ought to be trying to grow also in virtue and in holiness. How well do I love my neighbor? How well do I serve the poor? All of these things, each and every day, I have to somehow call to mind so that I don't find myself saying, well, it's okay, you know, I made all my sacraments and that should be enough, right? What else would God ask from me? Well, I go to Christmas, maybe, and I go to church at Christmas and Easter, and that should be pretty good, right? That's a couple of times a year. Some people don't go at all during the year, so I'm doing better than them, right? And we tell ourselves, no, it's okay. A lot of times we give ourselves that kind of permission not to strive, not to try, not to try and push ourselves forward. And then what happens? Then sometimes we come across difficult moments in life. We come across very difficult situations, challenges in our spiritual life, in our moral life. We come across these questions that we can't answer on our own. We come across challenges that we can't overcome with our own strength. Not just all about our own hard work, but then we say, why, God, do I have to face this trial? Why, God, is this so difficult? Why, God, do I not have something more here in my life? Why isn't this easier? And that answer, I think, a lot of times can be pretty apparent for us. If I don't have a life of prayer, if I don't make effort to serve those who are in need, if I don't make the effort to come to Mass, then should I be surprised if I turn to God and I say, well, my spiritual life is very dry. There's nothing that happens there, so I don't pray. Well, precisely, right? Because we're not striving in that area. God is always trying to push us forward. He's always trying to push us into a deeper relationship with Him and into greater holiness and greater virtue. That's why in that second reading, right, the author of the letter to the Hebrews, he says, look, if you face trials in life, in some ways it's good, consider it as discipline. And discipline, sometimes we think it has like a negative sort of meaning. Well, I don't want to be disciplined at work, or I don't want to be disciplined at school or at home, because discipline is a very bad thing. Discipline, in fact, is a very good thing for all of us. If you want to grow as an athlete, for example, you need discipline in your life. There are certain things you can say, okay, this is food that I can eat, this is food that I can't eat. Instead of sitting around on the couch and watching movies, I have to go to the gym, or I have to go into the practice field, or whatever else. If you're an athlete, you have to develop discipline. If you really want to excel in any field, right, in your work, yeah, you have to have discipline. You can't say, well, you know, maybe I'll get around to running that test later when I feel like it. Maybe I'll get around to writing up those case files later when I feel like it, right? No, you have to keep yourself disciplined in order to progress, in order to keep learning, in order to keep growing. And so, too, then, we need discipline in our life of faith, but we shouldn't think of it as a bad thing, because discipline has the same root, the same word as disciple. If I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to make sure that there's some discipline, that there is some ordering in my life. If I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to make sure there's some discipline, some ordering in my life. And sometimes that is difficult, because it means that we have to overcome bad habits. Sometimes it's difficult because it means that we have to switch up our understanding and conception of who God is and how He works in the world and in our lives. That sometimes can be a real shock to us. And so it takes work, it takes effort, it takes a little bit of struggle on our own part to find that kind of discipline in our own life of faith. But ultimately, that's the only thing that matters, right? It's the thing that is most of all worth it in this life and in the next, is to make sure that we order our lives, that we structure our day-to-day in such a way that we can grow, that we make time to grow in our relationship with God, in virtue, in holiness, in service to those who are in need. That's when we begin to, when we start to do that, that's when we see dividends pay off. Just like an athlete, after a while, practicing a drill over and over and over again, finally it starts to sink in, right? Finally it becomes part of your muscle memory. So when you're on the field, when you're on the court, when you're on the ice, whatever sport it is you play, now you don't have to think about it so much. It becomes automatic because you've trained yourself in that skill. You've trained yourself in that way of thinking. You've trained yourself in recognizing the patterns that you need to recognize. Same thing is true in our life of faith. When we order and structure our days in that way, when we make time for prayer with the Lord, when we make time for reading the scriptures, when we make time for service to others, right? We start then to recognize the pattern of how the Lord acts in our life. And then it does become a little bit easier, even in difficult and challenging moments. Maybe especially in difficult and challenging moments. There's a great saying that many of you may have heard. And sort of The provenance of this quote is a little bit questionable. Nobody's really sure exactly if it's attributed to who it's attributed to. It's one of those classic kind of quotes, right? But you've heard it before, I think. It goes like this: pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you. Has anybody heard that before? Nobody has. Okay, just me. Good. Pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you, because we need both of these things, right? We need our life of prayer, and we need to grow in our trust in God, in His goodness, and in His love, so that even in moments that are really hard, even in moments that are very difficult for us, we recognize God's love is still present there. But then He also calls us to be a part of it. So we work as if everything depended on us. We work because we want to put forth our very best effort. We work because we want to give the absolute best of who we are to God and to others. In order to do that, sometimes we need practice. And sometimes with that practice, we find even more skills, if you will. We find even more depth. We find even more reserve than we thought was possible to be able to give to the Lord, to be able to give to others. But it comes through that repetition. It comes through that work. It comes through that confidence that whatever we face in life, God has not abandoned us. God is not just simply trying to make things harder for us, but God is trying to draw out from us what is good, in fact, what is the very best of ourselves. So we strive to enter through the narrow gate. St. Paul says it a different way, right? He says, look, you see athletes who train and they run and they discipline themselves and their bodies. He says they chase all of that for a perishable crown, right? In the ancient games, you would get just like a wreath of some sort. Maybe it was olive leaves or laurels or something like this. And you put that leaf crown on your head. You say, oh, yes, I'm the winner. And what happens with that leaf crown in a couple of months? It dries out. It becomes brittle. It breaks. It fades away. St. Paul says, athletes do all of that work for glory that fades. But he says, we work for a crown that is imperishable, because our crown is that glory of heaven. That's what our goal is. That's what we should be striving for each and every day. Now, athletes, they always have trainers, they have coaches, they have people around them who help them draw out that best from themselves. And so we too also have these kinds of guides. And more than that, we have God Himself. We have the guides of the Scriptures. We have the guides of the Law and the Prophets. We have the guide of the Church and of the many saints who have gone before us. But we also have God Himself who fights the battles for us and who wins the victory for us. He's the one who comes to us today in this sacrament that we celebrate at this altar. God, right? He'll show up and He'll look like bread and wine, but really this is so much more. This is the fullness of who He is, because He says, you don't have to do it on your own strength. You don't have to do it on your own strength. Strive, work hard, push forward in your life of prayer, push forward to be of service to others. Do all of that, but you will do it with the strength that comes from the Lord. And that gives us courage. That gives us hope. Because even when I try I might think to myself, well, I'm going to work as if it's all depending on me. Even then, God is already active there. And what a gift that is. What a relief that is. So we come forward, we around this altar, we receive this Eucharist, we recognize that God gives us here strength and courage, but for a particular reason, for a particular purpose, to be able to go forth, be able to go out the doors, and to be able to grow in love of Him, be able to grow in sharing that love with others.